This morning's sermon text comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, 24 through 28. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come into your presence to hear your word preached, may it be preached powerfully, and may we be people who listen to your word. Lord, allow us to not only be listeners in the year of 2023, but be doers as well. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some things standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of the Lord. Now, before I start, this is more or less, I did a couple years back at our home church when I was an intern for the year. I can't remember if New Year's fell on the day that I was to preach, but I did a New Year's resolution sermon, and it was well received. So it's the first, and everybody starts resolutions, and normally we keep them for like a week, and then they're gone. But nonetheless, I wanted to take a crack at it and think about it in terms of spiritual formation. But if you hear anything I say in this short homily today, I'm really channeling this book I read a couple years ago. It's called Glittering Vices. Rebecca DeYoung is the author. I could post it on our Facebook page this coming week. But it's truly one of the best books I've read in Christian formation or discipleship in the past decade. I normally don't say something changed my life, but this is a really, really good book. I'm going to be talking a little bit about virtue today. She talks about the opposite, which is vice, but it's truly a fantastic book, and anybody that's read it that I've recommended it to has liked it. So usually I get mixed results, but this one's done pretty well. So when we think about the word virtue, we might not have heard much about it being Protestants. Perhaps if somebody grew up Catholic, it's a word you would hear a lot. Now, in our Protestant heritage, there are two things that I think were kicked out that could be pretty helpful for our discipleship as Christians. And I hesitate to critique our own tradition sometimes because it's not the best thing in the world to critique the church per se. But the two ideas that were done away with in the Protestant Reformation were the practice of penance and virtue kind of disappeared. So let's start with penance. Penance is a sacrament in the Roman Catholic tradition, and the Protestant reformers were really squeamish, so to speak, on people thinking that they could repent their way into heaven, if that makes... Does that make sense? Is everybody kind of jiving with me on that one? But what ended up happening in response to that was that Protestants don't really focus on repentance at all, more or less. And I think that that was a mistake, because what happens is people more or less pray a prayer to receive Jesus, and then they get this impression sometimes that they can do whatever they want the rest of their life. And then when you're perhaps a good Christian friend and you challenge them and say, "Why aren't you going to church?" Like, a mark of being a Christian is loving the people of God and worshiping with them. Or perhaps you're not living in accordance with God's will. They often will report, "Well, I prayed a prayer." That's true, but the prayer is a gateway into the Christian life. You are saved, and then you're set apart for a life where you, to use more traditional language, die to sin and live to Christ. Today's sermon text was all about self-denial. Self-denial is something that's fading away. Now, the good news is, in the last couple of years, I've seen Protestants retrieve this idea of penance or repentance. I would rather use the word repentance through Lent. And I'm for, as a pastor, taking a special season in the life of the church to focus on cleansing one's heart and repenting, with the caveat understanding that no amount of repentance that you do will ever save your soul. It's only on the merit and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be self-critical. In our culture, I've witnessed this in the last couple of years, nobody is self-critical anymore. In fact, all the bombardment with advertisement that we get tells you that you're the greatest person in the world, more or less. And I opened up my email this morning telling me how awesome I was and how I needed to buy all these new products in the year 2023. And I said to myself, Happy New Year. Now, the other area, and this is more for us this morning that got thrown out, was the idea of virtue. And keeping with that idea of penance, the reformers were really concerned with this idea that we would have formation into Christ's image, which was merit-based, like we earn our salvation. They really wanted to push back against that. So they really didn't like the idea, and I want to define virtue as a practice we do externally, so it's outside of ourself, which will shape our heart. So they didn't necessarily like that. They were concerned that people would think that they were earning their salvation. Now, the best way to define virtue, in my experience, has been in learning manners. When you're a child, in learning manners, and getting to know you guys over the past year, everybody has good manners here. You say your pleases and thank yous. We have a lot of thank you cards, which is really great. So pushing this millennial to make sure we send our thank you cards out. But manners are an external practice that shapes your heart, more or less. And it's done without caring what you feel like, if that makes sense. So think back to your childhood, where me in particular is thinking of my grandmothers and my great-grandmothers teaching me manners as a little boy. When you got something from somebody, what did they tell you to say? In my family, it was, say the magic word. It was to say, thank you. And you said it over and over and over again. And a good moral teacher that perhaps your grandmother or your great-grandmother was, is they would tell you it and say, it doesn't really matter what you feel, you just have to have good manners. Now, as this was done from perhaps the time when you were a toddler, all the way, and I'm experiencing this right now, raising children. I find myself saying the things that my grandparents used to say, and my parents, and my great-grandparents. But what ended up happening if you were, this was kind of beat into you, like beat manners into you, is you grow up and you'd be an adult, and good manners just becomes a part of who you are, to the point where if you tried to stop being polite, I bet you it would be basically impossible. So it'd be impossible. It's just a habit that you have. And over time, that virtue of that practice just becomes a part of who you are. So that's what virtue is. And hopefully manners kind of captures that. Now let's bring that into conversation with our formation as Christians. There are certain virtues that we can practice in the new year that can help us grow in our union and communion with Christ through the Spirit. And I'm going to pitch three. And they're intentionally very broad so that you can take them as an individual and incorporate them into your own life. So the three are, make church a priority. That's kind of a hobby horse of mine as a pastor. Always make church a priority. So that's a virtue. Number two, go deeper with the Lord in 2023. And then the last virtue, and I just made these up. These are not traditional virtues. Sacrifice something for the kingdom in the year of 2023. So let's first start with make church a priority. And when I talk about making worship a priority and a virtue as a Christian, again, I'm not discounting feelings and light. We want to affirm our feelings. But going to worship is just important for us to do each and every week. And it's much like telling your spouse, I love you. There has been times, and I'll probably see smiles, that you don't feel like perhaps telling your spouse you love them, but you do it because it's the right thing to do and it's good for your heart. I think going to church is the same way. And actually imagine if you turn to your spouse and actually said, that you don't have to do this, but you said to them when perhaps you don't feel like saying I love you, I really don't feel like I love you today. That would be devastating to that person. Same thing with church. You could wake up on a Sunday morning, you could be having a bad day, you could have had a bad week, and you say, I don't feel like going to church. Squash that feeling and go to church out of a virtue. It's an important thing to do as a Christian. And as we are kind of the remnant this morning, I'm kind of preaching to the choir on this, but it's nonetheless really important. So make priority church attendance in the year of 2023. Public worship really matters, and that's a hobby horse of mine, because it nourishes our soul. Let's take a few verses from Scripture to kind of help us, and then I'm going to channel our tradition a little bit. Matthew 18:20, this is often quoted a lot, but it's not necessarily just about public worship, but when Christians gather. The Lord says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." In particular, that's speaking about sitting under the Lord's teaching, which is done in public worship on Sunday. It's also done in Bible study, and it's also done in our prayer group, so forth and so on. The Lord's presence often feels most thickest for us when we are around the people of God. God's Shekinah glory, his most holy of holies, rests on his people of God when they are gathered. We could go in a more commandment orientation in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, which states, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." That's a commandment. It's black and white. You either do it or you don't. And finally, the Westminster Confession of Faith, which I really like. It's elaborating on Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, and it speaks about keeping the Sabbath holy in a really great pastoral way. It states, "The Sabbath is to keep the holy Sabbath unto the Lord, when men, after due preparing of their hearts and ordering their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a day of holy rest from their own works, words, thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but are also taken up the whole time in the public and private exercise of his worship, and in the duties of necessity and mercy." So the opposite of virtue is a vice, and that would be not attending church. And there can be a temptation in our life as Christians. We're blessed to be in the beautiful state of Idaho. And thinking back of 2022, taking the trek from the beautiful state of Pennsylvania to the beautiful state of Idaho, but the Lord is just so creative. They're both beautiful in their own particular ways, but there could be this temptation to go out to the woods and encounter the Lord. Now, I'm not denying that you can have that experience, but at the same time, that's God's general revelation you see his handiwork. God's special revelation is to sit under his word through teaching, to sit under his word through singing our praises to the Lord, which Jeff does such a great job at making sure they're biblically based. And you participate in the sacraments of the church as well. Now, you can't see a baptism, for example. I just prayed for a baptism in the pastoral prayer. You can't see a baptism out by yourself in the woods. You have to be with the gathered body of Christ. Public worship fuels and is the anchor of our formation into Christ's image. And how many of us, whenever we miss a church service for a week, feel off the next week? I know I do. I can get away with it because I'm a pastor. I guess I can think many decades down the road when I'm retired and say, oh, I could be tempted to skip church more or less. But it really does feel like something is off when we miss church. My mother used to say that all the time when I was a child, and I think that's what she was getting at. Now, Pastor Phil shared a really cool story with me a couple months ago when I was lamenting my generation being nonchalant, so to speak, with worship each and every week. And he read a book, and the sociologist interviewed children and asked them about their experience as Christians. And it was really fascinating because he said they didn't talk about going into the woods and encountering God that way, and they didn't talk about all the normal things maybe adults think about. They thought and described going to church. And it was really, really fascinating to him. In other words, they talked about public worship, and they talked about the sanctuary and seeing baptisms and communion, and it was really, really fascinating to Phil reading that book, and it was a real eye-opener. And I can actually confirm that that's true as well. And I want to affirm the children in that book and children that I've seen over the year. Usually when you say, "Where does God live?" and usually they'll respond, "The church." Has anybody heard this before? I have. But I can think many, many years ago, I was in the Presbytery of the Alleghenies that we had all these opportunities to go out and preach to different churches when pastors were out on vacation. And one church, their pastor, they were transitioning into the EPC, and their pastor retired, and I preached for them for like 8 weeks straight. It was great. It was a good experience, and they also helped build up my library because they gave a nice stipend. So it was great. Natrona Heights Presbyterian Church, it was called. And one Sunday, they forgot to tell me that I needed to do the children's sermon that week, which like really made me anxious. I had to come up with something like in 10 seconds. And so I had to do that. But the following week, this other guy filled in, and he did the children's sermon. And there was this little redheaded girl. She's really cute. Her name was Ivy. I can still remember. And she drew me a drawing of myself after the service. But they had the children's sermon, and this elderly man gave the message. And he asked all the children, "Where does God live?" And little cute redhead Ivy responded, "He lives in church." And I thought to myself, that's a really good response. Well, the response of the guy teaching said, "No, God lives outside of the walls of the church." And I thought, oh man, you just deflated a really good thinking. But Ivy's intuition, I believe, although she couldn't articulate this because she was probably in about the second grade, was the idea that when Ivy stepped into church each and every Sunday for public worship, she felt the presence of the Lord, I believe. And I think that's what she was trying to articulate. And so I would push that and challenge us as a congregation to make church worship a priority in the new year. And that doesn't mean just come here all the time. If it means come here when you're in town. What I'm trying to say is if you go out of town, we have a lot of vacationers, make church a priority there. Go visit another church. See what they're like. They don't necessarily have to be Presbyterian. A lot of denominations worship differently, and it's nice to be blessed by other churches. So make that a priority in the new year and allow the Spirit to transform you through public worship. Okay, the second virtue, and again, this is broad and ask the Spirit this week to work on your heart and reveal perhaps where he's calling you to make some changes in the new year. But the second virtue is go deeper. So Session's going to be working on our formation and revisiting it and maybe think about making some changes, not in the spring. I keep having to remind myself we're not in December anymore. We're in January. But going all the way to September. But there's several opportunities to get plugged in at Christ Presbyterian Church. And it's just, I want to remind you this morning, but we have a lot of different discipleship opportunities. So if you're just coming to church weekly, which is great, perhaps take the challenge to go the next step and go deeper in your walk with the Lord. So we have plenty of opportunities. First, we have Christ Presbyterian Women, or CPW, as the acronym refers to. We have the men's group with Jerry Helling. Jerry, could you raise your hands? We're a small group today. Jerry's back there, so connect with him. We have the Wednesday night Zoom meeting, which I'll be picking up this week. We're going to be working through the book of Ruth, so 6:45 to 7:15-ish. I also plug the men's Bible study on Thursday. The great thing about that group is we have free donuts, unless you sign up to bring the donuts. So that's at 8 a.m. each and every Thursday, and that group's been going on for a long time, and we're going through the book of Matthew right now. We also have all kinds of small groups, and if you need a place to get plugged in the new year and you want to go deeper with the Lord, see myself, send an email to the church, and I will connect you with the right person. But if you're just a weekly attender, I would challenge you this morning to go get involved and go deeper in the new year. Okay, and then the last virtue challenge to practice in the new year is to sacrifice something for the kingdom in 2023. Sacrifice is something I've been thinking a lot about over the past couple of months, and I'll just revisit from the text I read earlier. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 26. If the Christian life is about one thing, it's about dying to self and living for Christ. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul. So again, sacrifice something for the kingdom in 2023. And for many of us, depending on what stage of life we are in, this can take a different route. For some, it could be sacrificing time to service, Christian service. And we have the City Mission Group that serves every third Tuesday of the month. And if you are interested in that, see myself and I can get you in touch with the right people. I know sometimes when I bypass on service, I end up just sitting at home and watching television. You know, there's always a New Year's resolution in my heart to stop watching so much TV in the new year, but for some reason I end up becoming just a hypocrite at the end of the year. But perhaps with those people that have been serving at the mission for many, many decades, you can spend time with them, and that's going to be sacrifice. Perhaps for some of us, it could be our treasure, quite literally our money. And perhaps the Lord is challenging you this morning and in our new year to sacrifice more for the kingdom in the year of 2023. Or perhaps it's using your talent that the Lord has given to you to serve his kingdom in new ways. Again, use your imagination and think about it. Engage with it through prayer. And see where the Lord is calling you in the year of 2023. But don't waste the opportunity because last year is gone and a new year starts today. So in closing, may the Lord bless our church in the year of 2023. And may he show us new ways that he can work with his grace and mercy. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the new year. Lord, help us as a congregation collectively to think about the challenges that are ahead of us. Help us to take the idea of virtue and incorporate it into our formation as individuals. Lord, may you take these three challenges, virtues that I've pitched to the congregation this morning, and may we engage them in prayer, and may we think of ways where we can go deeper with you in the new year and ways that we can sacrifice for your kingdom. Lord, may we continue to trust you and know that you are a captain and you have only the best in store for us in 2023. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.